Our scripture reading this morning comes from Luke 10, verses 38 through 42. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work all by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." This is the word of the Lord. I want us to start this morning by thinking about vacationing. As it's summer, that seems like a good thing to think about. And when we're thinking about vacation, I want us to think about what the main point of vacation is. Is it the traveling? The experiences? Is it being away from work or away from home? For me, the main event of vacations are the time spent with the people I'm vacationing with. It's the quality time, and it's always been for me. Yet during vacations, sometimes I lose sight of that, with all the preparations that need to be made to go on the trip, and from the events we have planned while we're vacationing, it can all get really distracting. This past January, my husband Alex and I went on our first big trip as a married couple. We went to Orlando, Florida to go to Universal Studios. I was really excited for this trip because between my husband's work schedule and my school schedule, we weren't getting a lot of quality time together or really any time together. I was so excited to actually have completely undistracted time just with Alex. And the trip started off great. We were driving the whole way, which seemed daunting at first, but as we started the drive, it was nice to just be sitting there together, talking, listening to music, discussing some of the events that had happened recently. And I was navigating us well, and Alex was driving well, so there wasn't a lot of arguments or any distractions. We even made it through Atlanta, which is pretty chaotic, without a single raised voice or stressful moment. And then when we got to Florida, at first we were still centered and focused on the quality time. Even though the park was crowded, we were able to go on different rides and just spend that time together and just be together, which was something we really hadn't done in a couple months. But then the distractions and stress came. The next day, after a long day at the park, I decided that for some reason I really needed to get to Target. And so I used Google Maps and found a Target nearby, but I forgot about all the toll roads in Orlando. So I navigated Alex poorly, and we ended up on a toll road without any change at all. And so I remember driving past that collecting basket and thinking, somebody's going to come after us, or we're going to be fined thousands of dollars because we missed this one place to give money. And so the rest of the night, all I could think about is how I had ruined our amazing vacation just because I needed to go to Target. Then the next morning, we had one of those timeshare meetings. We had gotten a deal on our hotel by agreeing to sit through those meetings where they try to sell you a timeshare. And we were a little interested, but also thought that we probably wouldn't buy one. But 2 hours really wasn't that long, and so it was probably worth saving all that money on the hotel. But over 3 hours later, it didn't really seem worth it anymore. And after telling four people that no, at this time we were not going to buy a timeshare, I was pretty upset and angry. I mean, half of our day was gone. And this was supposed to be our special vacation, and it was just completely ruined. I was completely missing the point of vacation. The main event, the main point, was that Alex and I were together, and we were spending time together, even if it was sitting in a 3 to 4 hour long meeting. Yet I was so distracted by everything that was going wrong, I wasn't thinking about that anymore. In the passage that we just read, Martha is worried and distracted by her work. And she's being pulled in so many directions by this worry that she's forgetting the main event, Jesus visiting, teaching, and sitting in her home. In passages before this one we read, Jesus has already been visiting many different villages, doing the same thing, teaching, healing, meeting with people. In this village where Martha lives, where she owns a home, is his next stop. And Martha opens her home to him. So that's where Jesus is going to stay. She invites him to eat and stay with her and her sister. Martha has extended the culturally expected hospitality to Jesus. But she's become distracted and stressed. She's working hard to make this meal for Jesus and his disciples, to make it good and perfect. And all she can think about is making these preparations, is making her house clean and good enough for Jesus. I mean, this is Jesus after all. She is being pulled in many directions and can't even focus on Jesus being there. Martha's stressed, and when she looks into the living room, I imagine she got pretty angry. Because while she was running around making sure everything was perfect, her sister Mary was doing absolutely nothing. Martha was the only one working. And Mary should have been helping her. It was part of her role as well, but she wasn't. And I imagine that made Martha pretty mad. She's wondering why she's the only one doing any work, why she's the only one that seems to care. I'm guessing that Martha was probably walking in and out of the living room, dropping hints to Mary, trying to make her see that she should really be helping her in the kitchen. But Mary either doesn't understand, doesn't catch the hints, or is just simply ignoring Martha. Either way, Mary continues to sit at Jesus' feet and listen to him. And finally, Martha becomes so irritated, she just can't stay quiet anymore. Because Mary should know better. Martha was doing what was right. She was extending hospitality to Jesus, and Mary should be helping her too. So Martha decides that she probably just has to talk to Jesus himself, and he'll make Mary do the work. Martha was extending hospitality. She was doing something good. And she thought she was in the right. But she was distracted, worried, and stressed. She wasn't enjoying the company, and she was getting angry. She was completely missing the point. And so often we miss the point too. We fill our lives with what we think we're supposed to be doing. We get distracted, we worry, and we get upset. And we forget about the main event in our life, Jesus and his work. When I started seminary 2 years ago, I quickly noticed that my devotional life had changed quite a bit. I was so distracted by my call to seminary and my call to the church I was working at that I felt that it was far more important to do my schoolwork, to ace my classes, and to do the work at church than to spend time with Jesus. I stopped taking Sabbath rest seriously. because I felt that since God had called me to seminary and to Mayfair Church, that meant that that work was far more important than anything else. But with this thinking, I was completely losing track of my real call. I was losing track of the purpose of my call. I was so distracted and stressed that I was missing the point. I was missing the main event, the work Jesus was already doing in my life in relation to my call. And I wasn't taking the Sabbath rest that Jesus calls us to take. And I know that I'm not the only one who struggles with distractions, with the stress of life, with being pulled in every direction, with missing Sabbath rest in Jesus, missing the work that Jesus is already doing. Most of us, if not all of us, live in a world where we are encouraged to fill our days full. We live in a world where we're discouraged to rest. And often we're not encouraged to fill our days full with silly things. We're encouraged to fill our days full with important work, with work we're called to, with work that God has gifted us to do. The problem is that not only are we encouraged to do that work, but we're also encouraged to go above and beyond. We're encouraged to do that work and more. Enough is never enough. There's always more that needs to be done. We're told we have to do, and go, go, go. But when we do, and go, and never rest, we miss out on the main event. We miss out on Jesus. We don't leave enough space for rest and time with Jesus. And we also get so distracted that we forget that someone else is working too. We forget that Jesus works first, and we're called to follow him with our work next. Martha was so distracted by the work she was doing. She was so stressed by what she thought she needed to do that she was missing the main event. Jesus was sitting in her living room, teaching and speaking and getting to know the people in the village, and she was in the kitchen, overwhelmed, going above and beyond what she needed to do. And Martha was angry that Mary wasn't helping her, and so she decides to tell Jesus to tell Mary to help her, which is a little passive-aggressive, but I think we all do that sometimes. When Jesus pauses in his teaching, I imagine Martha walked in, because I'm sure she didn't interrupt Jesus, and she says, "Jesus, aren't you bothered that Mary isn't helping me? I shouldn't be doing this work by myself. Tell her to help me." And I think Jesus' response probably surprised her quite a bit, because Jesus doesn't tell Mary to help Martha. Instead, he probably smiled at her, shook his head a little bit, and says, "Martha, Martha, you're worried and upset about many things, but you only need one thing. Mary has chosen what is better, and I'm not going to take that away from her." Martha was probably a little shocked. Jesus was supposed to tell Mary to help her, because Martha was doing what was best after all. She was extending hospitality. She was feeding everybody. She was offering a place to stay. And at first she probably felt a little hurt and chastised, but Jesus wasn't yelling at her. Jesus was tenderly pointing out a mistake she was making and offering her something better. There was nothing wrong with Martha extending hospitality. That was a good thing, an important thing, and probably part of her call. But what she was doing wrong is she was more concerned about the hospitality than about spending time at Jesus' feet, listening and learning from him. Jesus had come to the village to speak and teach, and those at Mary and Martha's home were given an opportunity that not many were offered. They were getting a chance to meet Jesus, to learn from Jesus, and to rest with Jesus. Jesus was giving them a chance to experience something better, to experience rest, and to see the work that Jesus was already doing, and then to join him in that work. Jesus was offering Mary and Martha and others a chance to pause from their busy lives, to pause from their work, and to rest. And while Martha didn't accept that opportunity to rest, Mary had. And there's no reason for us to believe that Mary hadn't already done some work, that she hadn't already helped Martha a little bit and figured that they'd done enough and it was time to listen to Jesus. Mary probably did her work, and then she embraced the opportunity to rest in Jesus. And Jesus was not going to stop her from resting, from sitting at his feet and listening to him, from focusing on his work and letting him lead her. In a busy life full of expectations, it can be hard to rest. Yet Jesus wants us to rest in him, to let him work first, and to follow his lead. And Jesus gives us space to do this if we'll take it. When we're doing good work, when we're doing what we think is best, or when we're following our call, it can be hard to rest, and it can be easy to forget about Jesus. Yet when we choose to put aside our work for a minute, when we take Sabbath rest, when we let Jesus start the work and we follow him, when we remember that Jesus is the main event of our lives are better. A few years ago, my friend Todd was part of a youth mission trip. They were doing a short-term mission work in Chicago, construction work. They were fixing up homes for people in need with an area and a church in that area. And one day that week, they were putting up drywall. And since this was a short-term mission trip, they were on a very tight schedule. They had a lot of things they had to get done in a short amount of time, and many things had to be done in a specific order. This was the only day they had to put up drywall, and in order to move on to the next step of building those houses, the drywall had to go up. While Todd and his friends were working on putting up the drywall, a neighborhood kid came by and asked them if they would play basketball with him. Todd told him that they couldn't, that they had to keep working. And so the kid walked away and started shooting hoops by himself. And Todd and his friends continued to work. Then the kid came over again and asked them if they'd shoot hoops with him now. And they said no, they couldn't, they had to keep working. But the third time that the neighborhood kid came over and asked them to play basketball with him, Todd and his friends decided that they could probably take a short break. So everyone except the crew leader went to shoot hoops with the neighborhood kid, and pretty soon they weren't just shooting hoops, they were playing a full-blown basketball game, the neighborhood kids against them. And it got so big that there were spectators, the whole neighborhood was watching them. And it lasted so long that by the time the game was done, their day was done and it was time to head back. And while they were playing basketball, the crew leader just kept putting up the drywall, kept going, and he got his work done too. So both the drywall was put up and a neighborhood kid got to play basketball. And later that week, the same neighborhood kid came up to one of the area church members and asked them who this Jesus guy was and why he was so important. By taking a break and playing basketball with those kids in the neighborhood, Todd and his friends showed the love of Jesus, just as those who continued to put up the drywall also showed the love of Jesus. When we do, and go without Sabbath rest, we grow tired and weary. When we're distracted and stressed, our mental and emotional health struggles. We distance ourselves from God, but God wants a relationship with us. He doesn't want us to be distant from him. He wants us focused on him, and he wants to be center in our life. God is calling us to center ourselves in him. God is calling us to Sabbath rest. Because in our posture of Sabbath rest, God shows us what is most important. In our posture of Sabbath rest, God heals us and provides us comfort. In our posture of Sabbath rest, God reveals to us where he's already working and where he's calling us to join him. In our posture of Sabbath rest, we hear and see God more clearly in our life. God is calling us to sit at Jesus' feet, to listen to Jesus, to allow Jesus to show us the work he's already doing, and to rest. And if we take this Sabbath rest seriously, it is not something that Jesus is going to take away from us. Amen. Will you join me in prayer? Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the opportunity you have given us today to worship you. We thank you for this time in community and for this time we can spend in your word. We thank you for the work you are already doing in the world and for this invitation to join you. We also thank you for this invitation to rest. Help us to take this opportunity you have given us and to sit at Jesus' feet and listen. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.